Is Ontario's new sex education curriculum a unique opportunity for evangelism?
I urge you, brothers and sisters, to do your best to reach out to the people around you. There are people who are alarmed about this. You can invite them into your churches. There must be something you can do to help families and show that we love their children.
On the feature today, a brief excerpt from a speech given to the ARPA Niagara Chapter Annual Dinner by Reverend Scott Masson from Tyndale University College. In the news, a Saskatchewan MP has introduced a motion in Parliament to specifically give MPs the right to vote their conscience on controversial issues like abortion and euthanasia. ARPA sounding the alarm about new legislation in Ontario, a bill that would make it very difficult for pastors and Christian counselors to work with young people struggling with sexual identity issues. Speaking of sexual identity, you won't believe what they're talking about in BC. And another We Need a Law flag display, this time in Lethbridge, Alberta.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
A Conservative Member of Parliament from Saskatchewan has introduced a private member's motion that would expressly recognize the rights of MPs to vote their conscience on controversial issues. Souris Moose Mountain MP Ed Komarnicki says fundamentally there are two court challenges outstanding that Parliament should deal with, and both would have MPs struggling with their most deeply held beliefs.
If I were to define the matter of conscience, it would be, in my mind, at least for certain, anything that had to do with life commencing at conception and ending at natural death. There are two court cases, most recently the McCarter case, that said Parliament needed to legislate with respect to physician-assisted death under certain circumstances, and so the expectation is that Parliament will put forward legislation that will be put before the House for a vote eventually. And because of some deeply held views, some will say life is sacred and shouldn't be ended before natural death and will vote against that legislation, they should be allowed to do that if their conscience so dictates. On the other hand, there may be those that struggle and will say, you know, the legislation will be acceptable, or with respect to two or three different types of or pieces of legislation, they'll accept one, not the other. There was also a decision in Morgenthaler, and the court clearly said that it was up to Parliament to find out when the state's interest was compelling to protect the unborn, and Parliament was expected to put forward some legislation, and that has languished. We generally seem to be afraid to deal with the difficult subjects in Parliament, but that's exactly where they should be dealt with, and at some point Parliament needs to struggle with that decision and bring forward legislation to protect the unborn, particularly for those who believe in charter values.
Debate on his motion kicked off last week, and the NDP has come out generally in favor of the idea. The Liberals, though, have been pretty quiet. Partly, one suspects, because of Justin Trudeau's edict last year, insisting that all Liberal candidates in the upcoming election have to be on the pro-choice side of the abortion debate.
He was a very good example of what's wrong with democracy and what's wrong with not having free votes, because if you said, look, no one can be elected except he thinks like I do, or if he thinks differently, he has to vote like I tell him. Well, that goes against the fundamentals of democracy. It actually goes against the Charter, really, which ensures that there is a freedom of conscience.
And lest anyone think the motion would create a free-for-all in Parliament on any number of issues, Komarnicki says his motion envisions some clear limits on what would be covered under the rubric of conscience.
If you're dealing with matters of confidence, if you're dealing with the budget, if you're dealing with core principles of the party and policy and so on, you wouldn't expect it to be a free vote. But when you're dealing with matters of conscience, particularly as I've defined it, matters of life from conception to death, those are not things that the government will stand or fall on, and there will be differences of opinion.
The idea would also be to limit the introduction of motions on so-called conscience matters to only once per each session of Parliament, to prevent repeat votes on the more contentious issues. Debate on this motion started last week. No word on when it'll come to a final vote. In Ontario, the government of Kathleen Wynne has introduced new legislation in the area of health care ARPA policy analyst Colin Postman has been looking at this proposed new law.
Bill 77 is an attempt to amend the Ontario Health Insurance Plan and the Regulated Health Professions Act to remove coverage for what they call services rendered that seek to change or direct the sexual orientation or gender identity of a patient, including efforts to change or direct the patient's behavior or gender expression, unquote. It will also seek to prohibit providing these services to anyone under the age of 18. Basically, anyone providing that counseling could face punitive action or some sort of court challenge.
Colin says the bill has its origins in the fact that there have been problems with some practices in this area in the past. But that doesn't mean it'll fix those problems. Really, he says, the bill fails to acknowledge the underlying issues in this discussion.
The record of reparative therapy has been tarnished in the past by various illegal and kind of pseudoscientific treatments that have attempted to change the external desires, and they didn't really address the heart issues. So that's part of the reason this bill is in place, is to challenge those parts of it, the illegal and somewhat dangerous things that have been done in the past. But in reality, Christians in general know that true temptations of the heart can't be changed by an outward change. It's a matter of the heart, and that must be changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the desire to do right will follow from that.
He says the proposed law is not only another attack on the family, it also shows a fundamental misunderstanding of the role of the church and of a Christian worldview. As an example, he cites the hypothetical idea of a young person, somebody under 18, asking for help if they're struggling with issues of sexual identity.
The pastors and Christian counselors not being able to do their job, and effectively the state reaching in and saying, the church is only there for on Sundays, you can just go and do your worship thing and that's it. It has nothing to do with the day-to-day life. And really, we're trying to challenge that and say, a Christian worldview by definition means that it gets into every aspect of your life. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's not just an in-church thing. This is who we are, and this is how we look at the world. And this bill threatens to undermine how we understand the world.
ARPA was among the first groups to file a request to appear before the Health Committee on this issue. No word on when that might happen, if the request is not granted, or if there are no oral hearings. Postma says a policy paper will be submitted for the government's consideration. Speaking of sexual identity, the BC Human Rights Tribunal has agreed to review the idea that birth certificates should no longer assign gender to newborn babies based on a quick inspection of the obvious factors. The idea came from a coalition of transgendered groups and individuals who say assigning gender at birth doesn't make sense when there's a possibility people may want to identify under a different gender or even no gender years later. Barbara Kay wrote an analysis of this in the National Post. We linked to it from the Lighthouse News homepage. But here's a succinct quote. Sex, she writes, is an objective biological fact. Gender is a subjective psychological feeling. For more, you can check out the link. We Need a Law sponsored another flag display last week, this time in Lethbridge, Alberta. 10,000 pink and blue flags on display at the lawns of a downtown city park. Organizer Melanie Camper repeated for local media there the message that's been central to this entire campaign.
In Canada, we have no laws limiting abortion. Canada is the only democratic country worldwide that has no laws of this type. We are in the company with China and North Korea, and we feel that Canadians need to know this. There's a lot of people just are unaware.
Getting permission to host the display was an onerous process this week. The actual permit wasn't issued until less than 24 hours before the event actually took place. That left the organizers scrambling a little. It's also fair to add that issuance of the permit only came after ARPA lawyer Andre Schutten sent a letter to Lethbridge City Hall reminding folks there about the fundamental charter right of freedom of expression. Mark Penninger wrote an excellent column on the background to this, which was printed in the Lethbridge Herald. We link to that column from the Lighthouse News homepage this week. Back with more after this.
Please take time this summer to meet with your MP to discuss the matter of euthanasia. As MPs will be in their ridings, summer is a great time to do this. As we head into an election this fall, this is an issue that cannot be ignored. The deadline for new legislation is February 6, 2016, just 3.5 months after the election. Be sure to read our policy report, available at arpacanada.ca/publications, to understand this issue and engage with your MP.
The controversy over Ontario's new sex education plan just will not go away. There's another huge protest planned for Queen's Park this upcoming weekend. That sex ed curriculum was also the central theme of a speech by Dr. Scott Masson from Tyndale University College and the Ezra Institute. He was addressing the annual dinner of ARPA's Niagara chapter earlier this month. The speech is too long to put into the program in its entirety, but on the feature this week, we'll just give you the last few minutes, the wrap-up. After going through the new curriculum, what's wrong with it, and how it's an attack on parental rights in education, Dr. Masson concluded with the notion that the bill may actually be an opportunity for the church to engage the culture in unexpected ways, if it has the courage to do so.
I've written two articles on this subject for the National Post. And let me tell you, it has not been without consequences for me to even take a stand on it, as extraordinary as that may sound. It's not been without consequences. I'll say no more on that front, but I wrote two articles in the National Post. The first one was why the critics of the sex ed curriculum are right. It was a direct response, by the way, to Michael Corrin, who has sadly gone astray on this subject. But I was written by a coalition of Chinese parents, thousands of them, first generation, not Christians. And they thanked me, and they said, "We finally found a Christian who is speaking on the issue and has articulated the concerns that we have about this. We can see we lived in communist China. We came to Canada because we thought we could here live in freedom and not be co-opted and perverted and knuckled under by the government. Here we see that's exactly what's happening here. And thank you for speaking on this." I corresponded with this person. She asked me what they should do. She said, "I'm first generation. I don't even know what to do." She said, "Will you be our spokesman?" I don't know. I'll do the best I can on that front. I said, "Go to your local churches and get their support." She said, "I already have." I went to 30 of them. 28 of them said, "We're not interested. We don't want anything to do with this." These were the indigenous churches. These were churches that were of Canadians. There were two churches that were willing to help them. There was an Orthodox church, and I think there was another ethnic Chinese church that were willing to help them. But she said to me, if churches had been willing to help them out, the Chinese parents would have flocked to the churches for classes in parenting. Because she and her fellow Chinese immigrants thought that this was a Christian country, and they thought this was Christian morality, and they thought the Christians would stand with them, and they found that the Christians didn't care. If you are interested in evangelism, this is fish jumping into the boat, which you've just thrown out of the boat. You don't even have to fish for them. They've jumped into the boat. And they've been turned out of the boat. Now, this is an indictment on the church, those churches. My sense, however, is it's not just characteristic of those churches, but it's the church throughout Ontario. I've spoken at rallies, and there are very few Christians out there. I've seen Chinese Christians. I've seen Charles McBee. I've seen almost no one else. This is a very sad thing, and it's one that we're going to have to wear. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, to do your best to reach out to the people around you. There are people who are alarmed about this. You can invite them into your churches. You can allow them to set up schools in your churches even. There must be something you can do to help families and show that we love their children. And this is the way of doing it. My question for you, and I'm going to conclude with this, is are we going to be like that generation that Hebrews talks about that perished in the wilderness? Or as Hebrews 4 verse 9 urges us, are we going to strive to enter God's promised rest, his shalom, in our day? If we're going to do that, we're going to face persecution. But that's our calling. We're going to face persecution, and we're going to face condemnation. We're going to be called homophobes. We're going to get slandered. Our motives are going to be questioned. But we know where the church needs to stand, and we need to stand. Now, ARPA stands for this, and I would encourage you and urge you to support them in every way that you possibly can. We need to co-labor in Christ on this. I cannot emphasize that enough. I thank you very much for your attention. God bless.
This has been Lighthouse News. delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Production Manager Brian Grimm, Technical Director Nate Boscher. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.